Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024, and we are reading from the Big Book, continuing in There is a Solution, page 20, the fifth paragraph, Moderate Drinkers Have Little Trouble, through two paragraphs, ending with and may even need medical attention. Today's readers are Cara L., who will read the text, Penny L.C., A Vision for You, and Yvonne A. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and Shelley E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, May 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,417. And for this morning, Wednesday, May 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,423. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Good morning to Kathy P., who will now read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Kathy.
Morning, Susan. Thank you for your service today and Team Wednesday. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for being able to do service today.
Thank you, Kathy P. And next I will ask Joanne L. to please join us and read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service today. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island in recovery. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself. In our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. in Rhode Island. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 20, the fifth paragraph starting with moderate drinkers have little trouble, through two paragraphs ending on page 21 and may even need medical attention. I will now ask Cara L. in California to please begin reading for us. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning. This is Cara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Moderate drinkers have little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have a good reason for it. They can take it or leave it alone. Then we have a certain type of hard drinker. He may have the habit badly enough to gradually impair him physically and mentally. It may cause him to die a few years before his time. If a sufficiently strong reason, ill health, falling in love, change of environment, or the warning of a doctor becomes operative, this man can also stop or moderate, although he may find it difficult and troublesome and might even need medical attention. Good morning. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. I always wish to be these drinkers, eaters. You know, I always thought I was. You know, the moderate eater, you know, if I had a good reason. Well, when I did have some willpower left, I did have good reasons, a wedding or something where I would control my eating for a period and then I would lose weight. And then I would say, oh, I'll never gain weight again. And then, of course, I would gain weight again. And then it slowly morphed into, you know, the hard eater. Well, I knew there was a problem. I was already in the rooms. I was doing everything that I knew. You know, I was doing everything a sponsor told me. I was being a good student. I was doing everything. And I still didn't have food neutrality. You know, I had some times, I had some ease that it was easier, that the tools were helping me along and working. But in the end, my eating still wasn't neutral. So what happened? Well, what happened was, you know, I finally stepped from the bridge of reason over to the shore of faith and just said, I don't know how to do this, higher power. I need help. And I worked these steps with that new frame of mind of, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to, every step of the way, every step, right? I just said, higher power, you know, help me to get what I need from this so that, you know, I can have freedom, you know, because until I identified myself, which we'll see this coming up, as a real eater, a hopeless eater, and I was willing to say to a power greater than myself, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm out of ideas. I never found real neutrality. And today, you know, I work a program today because I don't want to lose what I have. It's so important to me. You know, this program gave me food neutrality. It gave me some emotional sobriety. It gave me the life I have today. And when I struggle today, I know that I don't know the answers. Only my higher power does. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Cara L. in Long Beach, California. And just as a reminder of where we are, if somebody came in during Cara's share, page 20, fifth paragraph, moderate drinkers have little trouble. Then it's the paragraph about the hard drinker that ends on page 21 with, and may even need medical attention. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So I'm now going to take a lineup of names. I'd like, if possible, to have your first name, last initial, and the state or possibly the country that you're calling from. Who would like to speak to these two paragraphs this morning?
Wendy,
New Jersey.
Okay, hold on.
Wendy B. in Arizona.
Wendy
and
B. Arizona,
E.
got you.
Barbara
Wendy
M.
in New York, thank you. Wendy M.
Kathy P.
You're all going to have to say where you're calling from after. Some of you I know, some of you I don't. Thank you, and then I can take a couple more.
Michelle S.
And Michelle, where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Thank you. And there was somebody following you?
Cheryl S.
Cheryl, good morning. Thank you. All right, we will pause there. Here's who I have. Wendy B. in Arizona. Barbara E. from New York. Wendy M. in Colorado. Kathy P., who will tell us where she is from. Michelle S. in Massachusetts, and Cheryl S., who will also share where she's from when she speaks. So if everybody could star one and mute their line other than Wendy B. in Arizona. Good morning, Wendy. Please share with us.
Good morning. This is Wendy B. in Arizona. And I was just focusing on the word moderate. And on page 139, it gives more of an elaborate description of the moderate drinker. It says, as a moderate drinker, you can take your liquor or leave it alone. Whenever you want to, you can control your drinking. Of an evening, you can go on a mild bender, get up in the morning, shake your head, and go to business. To you, liquor is no real problem. You cannot see why it should be to anyone else, except the spineless and the stupid. And, you know, that paragraph, you know, reveals how the moderate drinker can't understand the real alcoholic. You know, they think, you know, it's a matter of willpower, of self-control. You know, if they can control it, then everyone else should be able to too. And, you know, they see themselves as better than the addict. You know, they don't need program or God. They can handle it, you know, by using discipline. And for me, you know, my history is not moderation or restraint. You know, when something made me feel good, I always wanted more. You know, I wanted to recreate the good feeling. You know, I couldn't leave anything alone. You know, I had little self-control, you know, and not just with the food. You know, I mean, I would pick at scabs. I bit my nails down to the quick. You know, I ate anything that tasted good until it was gone. You know, I couldn't save anything for later. I couldn't save money. You know, it was just all about instant gratification and, you know, satisfying my, you know, insatiable appetite, you know. And when I came into program, I became aware of my hopeless condition, you know, and I accepted my powerlessness. I saw others where the problem had been solved, you know, and I wanted the recovery I heard in their voices, you know, and I surrendered to do the work that they did, you know, and now I can live in the freedom, you know, from, you know, having the food control me, you know. You know, it can look on the outside like I'm moderating or having restraint or self-control, but I know, you know, it's all about just letting God do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. in Arizona. Next up, good morning to Barbara E. in New York. Please unmute.
Good morning, everyone. It is Barbara E., but I live across the river in New Jersey, and happy Wednesday to all of you. Well, I love this big book because it really describes the real me. I am a volume compulsive overeater. I was born a volume compulsive overeater. I'm afraid I'm going to die a compulsive overeater too, but I don't have to die because of it. Because my compulsive overeating first took me gently by the wrist, and then before I knew it, it had me around the throat, and it was killing me slowly, and I didn't understand. I thought I was a moderate or hard drinker because there were times when I could take it or leave it alone, and there were times when I needed to go to a bar mitzvah or a wedding or a funeral or something like that, where I would lose consistently, restrict, if you will, in order to fit into that perfect size, whatever that perfect size was. And then when the party was over, what did I do? I ran back to my best frenemy, food. And I remember my first sponsor, Barbara, you've got a problem with ice cream too. I want you to take a paperback copy of the big book and put it in the freezer. So when you open the freezer in the middle of the night, there'll be your two best frenemies, Ben and Jerry, staring at you, and the big book telling you, Barbara, run away. This isn't good for you. So I had to realize that I was insane, and I am insane when it comes to food, because I would always go back to the things that were killing me. And none of the cases that are listed in this book seem too extreme to me, because I certainly was committing suicide on the layaway plan, and I would try and say, well, I'll have just a little of this, and maybe it won't be so bad, like running out in the middle of traffic. So there were even sometimes when I went out deliberately to gain, not to gain, but to eat whatever I wanted, because I was angry. I was an emotional child. I had not learned about the emotional and the spiritual part of the program. So I have to say that this book indeed has saved my life, because there are so many references in every single chapter, and I love the fact that the chapters, thank you, that the chapters go in order, because that helps the little old me to understand my problem and the solution. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Barbara E. in New Jersey. Next, we're going to go to Colorado. Good morning, Wendy M.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Susan, for your service, everyone on the line, and for this divinely inspired book. So I like to always remember the title. It's two things. There is a solution. Like, oh my God, really? Like, we've suffered our whole lives and now there's a solution. And then it says there is a solution, right? So we just have to follow these instructions precisely. So I love that. Now, it says here moderate drinkers and hard drinkers. And I spent a lot of my childhood letting everybody know that my younger sister was anorexic. I had so much jealousy with this woman. I still do. I still have that judgment that she's anorexic and she's doing it wrong. Well, guess what? God's like, you know what? Not your business, sweetie. And also, could you stop gossiping? Because you're going to have to make a lot of 10 steps on that one. So we just need to just focus on yourself. I was told to look at this paragraph as a way to diagnose myself, right? Like, am I this? Am I that? No one in the book tells me what I am, but I can self-diagnose, right? I have a problem. I'm beyond being a hard drinker or a hard eater, way beyond that. And thank God, probably the greatest thing in my life, maybe having a child, but the greatest thing in my life is that I have an addiction. And the greatest thing about that is that it got me to God. And from there, it is giving me a life beyond my wildest dreams. I have peace like I've never known it. I have calm like I've never known it. You know, and who knew? Who knew having this addiction would be the greatest miracle of my life? Greatest miracle. Because when I was eating, I was just in ache. I was aching for that, for connecting the separation, right? The separation between God and I. And when I put down the food, I got God, right? I got God. And, you know, God is the greatest thing in my life, bar none. I've been doing this 24 years, and only in the last 10 months did I say to somebody, yes, I want what you've got, and I'm going to do what you do. And I don't care if it seems inconvenient. It's not. It's convenient. It's the most convenient thing to do all that I do every day to get to God. Last night, I'm in a funky mood. Pick up the phone and see if I can sponsor somebody. See if I can be useful to somebody. And then, you know, I get 10 more calls back. And then I get God. You know, that is how this works. And in terms of doing other people's inventory, I have to admit, sometimes I'll see a thin person eating
That's
something.
Fine, Wendy.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I'm in Boulder, Colorado. Next up, we have Kathy T. And Kathy, if you can share with us where you're calling from this morning. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kathy P. from Oregon. Grateful to be on the line this morning. You know, as we read through these paragraphs, I worked so hard at trying to be a moderate drinker or a hard drinker. You know, I tried over and over and over again and never could understand why I couldn't stop, not understanding the allergy of the body. And, you know, tried it for years and years in what I call mainstream OA. And there's recovery there, but it wasn't something that I could get. I could never achieve it. And I was always running after everyone else, trying to figure out what they were doing. But it wasn't until I came to the Big Book meetings, Vision, Scottsdale, other meetings, that I truly understand how simple this program is and what to do. Never figure out how to sponsor when I would get to that point. So I'm really, really grateful, you know, for the program and for all of you for showing me the way. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy P. in Oregon. Next, we're going to go to Massachusetts. Good morning to Michelle S. Michelle, star one to unmute, please.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hi, Michelle S. is in Frank, Massachusetts. And what struck me this time when these paragraphs were read is it mentions they don't have the moderate drinkers and the hard drinkers don't have any problem giving it up. It doesn't mention if they're happy. It doesn't mention if they're okay with giving it up. I've known people who were hard drinkers and had to give up alcohol, and they were miserable people. They were healthy, they were still there, but they were miserable. And that's the way I was prior to coming into these rooms. I was in the pay and weight programs, and I got to goal weight. And I thought I was just the bomb, and I looked so good, but I was stark raving abstinent. I was stark raving crazy. I was more focused on my appearance
I had problems with my friendships. My marriage wasn't so great, and I was really struggling as a new mom. And I wasn't eating healthfully. I wasn't eating anything close to a normal diet. I was following the rules, but I wasn't healthy, and I wasn't happy. And that, to me, says that I am the real deal, because I can't just have a little bit and never have it again, or have Thanksgiving and then go back to life as it was. And I can't be a happy fat person. I can't be a happy starving person. I can't be a happy fat person. And I can't stop once I start, you know, and I can't stop from starting. And, you know, I started with just the holidays, and then it became, there's an excuse year round to eat the alcoholic foods I know I shouldn't eat. You know, starting in February with Valentine's Day, and it would go all the way again until New Year's, and when you'd make those resolutions to lose all that weight. And then you'd go back on the merry-go-round again. It was miserable. So I can say I'm abstinent today by the grace of my higher powers. I haven't always been happily abstinent, but I'm a heck of a lot better now than I ever was in the Pay and Weigh programs, even at goal weight. I have so much more to look forward to and to think about than what I am or am not going to eat. And that's what the rooms have brought me. And with that, I'll pass.
Time, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle Esther Frank from Massachusetts. Next, we have Cheryl Esther Sam in Nevada. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. And, you know, there's a lot of things about this disease that I don't understand, but there's a couple of things that I know really well, and I believe to the core of my being. It's really sneaky, and it is progressive for me. And this is, you know, sometimes I talk about other diseases, and, you know, loopholes are a bad thing for me, and these paragraphs can be loopholes for me. Oh, well, wait a second. Maybe I'm this, or maybe I'm just that. But because I believe it's progressive, I know that untreated, eventually I'll be a full-blown compulsive overeater. And I am a full-blown compulsive overeater. And I think about, you know, if I was diagnosed with cancer or with diabetes, would I be like, you know, I'm just kind of a moderate cancer person or a moderate diabetes person, and I don't have to do it all. I can just do a little bit and, you know, and it's going to be okay. Or I'm just going to take the medicine for a while and then I'm going to stop and it'll be fine. And, you know, I just wouldn't do that. The insanity of this disease tells me that maybe I'm not as bad. Maybe I'm not as bad, especially when I have some time where I have some recovery. And then I start to think those tricky, sneaky thoughts can come in. You know what, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. Maybe there's a couple of things I can eat that I didn't think I could eat. And boy, if I eat them, I'm right back down the rabbit hole. And, you know, I've heard someone share, too, that when they first came in, when she first came in, she thought it was a cult. And what she decided was not that it wasn't a cult, but that if it was a cult, then this is exactly where she wanted to be. And, you know, I feel that way too. And, you know, if you're out there and you think, you know, maybe I'm not that bad, maybe I could stop, give the program a try. It's not going to hurt you. There's nothing in it that can hurt you. And that's what I found. You know what? It's like I got to pull back the curtain and open the door from Kansas to Oz. And I'm going to stay in Oz. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl S. in Nevada. And if you've joined us during these shares, we are
speaking to the paragraphs at the bottom of page 20, and there is a solution starting with moderate drinkers, then the paragraph following ending with a may even need medical attention. So who would like to share? If I can get first names, last initial, and the state or country where you're calling from this morning.
Joe M. from Minnesota.
Someone from Minnesota.
From Los Angeles.
It was Joe M. from Minnesota.
Joe M. Thank you. Joe M. from Minnesota. Okay, then I've got Sherry. Who else would like to join this lineup?
Kara B. from Michigan.
Era, was that?
It's Kara with a K.
Another Kara, thank you. Okay, great. We will
Larry G.
time for a couple. Larry, good morning. Thank you. I've got you. You take
K-M. And then... K-S from Iowa.
K-S from Iowa. And was there somebody else with K? All right, we'll pause there and see where we go. So we have Joe M. in Minnesota, Sherry Z. in California, Cara B. in Michigan, Larry G. in California, and K.S. for Sam, I believe, in Iowa. So if everyone other than Joe M. in Minnesota could mute their lines. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, thank you for your service. Hi, my name is Joe, and I'm a compulsive overeater. So I'm looking at these two paragraphs and looking at really the for me, the questions that are embedded in them. So I look at that first paragraph for moderate drinkers. So someone who has little trouble in giving up liquor entirely if they have good reason for it. So I think of myself. So in the throes of my overeating, did I have good reason for giving up overeating entirely? Yes, I had good reason for giving it up entirely. What would have been my reason? Well, first of all, my health. I mean, my health was very compromised and potentially could have cut my life short, actually, from my overeating. So I did have good reason for it. But I had great trouble in giving it up, even just for a short time. And it says, can they take it or leave it alone? Could I take it or leave it alone? No. Because when I tried to leave it alone, it caused me great pain, great anguish. So no. So those answers are no. So that means I'm not in that group called moderate eaters. And then there's the next paragraph that causes that says having a sufficiently strong reason. Well, again, yes, I had sufficiently strong reason, and giving up or can stop or moderate. Was I able to stop or moderate? Well, could I stop? Not really. I mean, I suspended the overeating for several weeks at a time, but that's not what they mean by stop. They're talking about stopping altogether. No, I couldn't do that. And could I moderate? I couldn't do that. I tried to moderate. I made an attempt at moderating, but I couldn't moderate. So I don't fit into that category either. So for me, one of the experiences of recovery is excluding myself from certain groups. Before I can really identify who I am, I get to identify who I am not. I am not a moderate eater, and I'm not a hard eater, and I will never, I think maybe at one time I may have been in those groups, but I've well passed beyond either of those groups. So I'm not a moderate drinker, and I'm not a moderate eater or a hard eater. And they're going to tell me who I am later on in the next paragraph. But it's actually, today it's a great relief to me, because I'm not trying to be a moderate eater either, and I'm not trying to be a hard eater anymore either. Thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Joe M. in Minnesota. Next, Sherry Z. in Los Angeles, California. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Susan. I'm recovered in Los Angeles, Sherry Z. And thank you all to everybody who does service and everybody who shows up every day to participate in our recovery. I so desperately wanted to be moderate in everything. I wanted to be a moderate eater, and yet I wanted the rest of my life, I wanted to be excellent. And moderate sounded just average. And I was a moderate eater for a millisecond when everything in the world was perfect in my estimation, like everything. And what's ironic is I'm such a real compulsive overeater. And when God reminds me, because I'm living in recovery And this weekend, a lot of things didn't go my way. It was complete chaos. And the time between breakfast and lunch yesterday was like 100 hours. And I haven't felt that in 2.5 years. And it's because I am a real, hardcore, compulsive overeater. There's nothing moderate about me. And God reminds me, lest I forget that I don't do anything in moderation. And that's not my personality. It's not my genetics. And so the fact that I would eat in moderation is actually laughable. And when we get to the next paragraph and we talk about what is the real alcoholic, the real compulsive overeater, you know, I was in the rooms for a long time with a lot of moderate eaters, and I always felt something was wrong with me. Like, they get it, and I don't. What's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with me. I have a disease. It's a twofold illness. And when I forget, and when things don't go my way, or when they do go my way, whenever I have an iota of a feeling, what kicks in is my disease letting me know that this is how you react. So thank God I'm recovered today. Thank God I have a program, because I can tell you where I'd be if I didn't. And thank you to all of you.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z in Los Angeles, California. Next up, we have Cara B in Michigan. Good morning, Cara.
Good morning. Please. Oh, thanks. Can you hear me now?
Oh. Yes, we can. We can hear you. Now we can't.
Sorry, that wasn't quite working with my mute button. Thank you. Hi, friends. Thanks, I appreciate that. Hi, friends. I'm Cara B. calling from Michigan, and I so much relate to these shares. I also desperately wanted to be just a hard eater or a moderate eater, and I also too found that I could not. I remember early on thinking, you know, trying to have the concept of a cheat day where I can be quote unquote good all week and then have a day where I can eat anything I wanted to. I had some friends that did that. I thought that's an awesome idea, and that one day would spiral into multiple days and then weekend, and it was just not good. And also just addressing the idea of just taking the morality out of that. I'm not quote unquote good or bad. As was mentioned, I have a disease. And so I just don't respond normally to my allergies, the allergic foods and the compulsive food behaviors. I cannot, my body just reacts differently. And just like it talks about, as was mentioned before, like if there's sufficiently strong reason, I know people that can just stop. They've, you know, people that have cut out, you know, just through willpower alone, which is great for them, not applicable for me. I just remember having so many times that I would just be crying and not wanting to eat, and almost like watching myself as I was eating things and not able to stop and wishing I could, and just watching myself being like, what is happening? This is so bewildering. I had to have a power greater than myself to stand between me and the food, because I could not stop. And I had doctors told me repeatedly I needed to stop. The health issues, as was mentioned by other people, I too couldn't stop. I just couldn't. And I wanted to, and I couldn't. And I beat myself up for being such a failure. But that was not, the whole paradigm was wrong. It is a disease, and I'm powerless over this disease. But there is a power greater than myself that delivers me every day from the madness of that disease, as long as I stay fit in fit spiritual condition and connect with him. I'm so grateful that there is solution. Thanks so much for letting me share. I'm going to pass.
Thank you so much, Cara B. in Michigan. Next, good morning to Larry G. in California. Please join us, Larry.
Yeah, good morning, Susan. This is Larry G. from California. Yeah, I needed to share with Edmund in isolation this last week or so, and it's just good to be on this meeting and claiming my seat. I have never been a normal eater, as all of you have mentioned on this call today, and I don't think I ever wanted to be a normal eater. I think there is a certain excitement that comes with addiction. I think addicts, we are adrenaline junkies, and that's true for me. today. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to live an extraordinary life, you know, beyond the ordinary. And with God's grace, I'm doing that today. Maybe sometime in my life, I don't know, if OA was presented to me, maybe, possibly. But I eat a lot of food. I played high school sports. I played college sports. I thought that's what men did. And then I got sober. And everything changed. Everything just went to hell. In 1981, I got sober, but my food addiction continued on. It was just unbridled. And that's where the weight started to come on and off. I do relate to the problem drinker. I have empathy for the problem drinker, and I know some people who are problem drinkers who stopped, just suddenly stopped, but they are miserable people. I would characterize one of them as a dry drunk. He's got nothing I want. Normies and problem drinkers are none of my business, what they think of me and what I think of them. Recently, I was coming back from a business trip from Dallas, and I was in business first class. This is where they still serve meals, and this guy was sitting next to me. He was clearly a business person, and when the desserts came around, he took his knife and divided the brownie in half and then rolled it up in the cell of the plastic wrap and put it in his coat pocket. And it was driving me crazy the entire trip. And when I arrived in Sacramento, I asked him, I said, what are you going to do with that brownie? And he said, well, when I get home tonight after dinner, I'm going to have that brownie for dessert. Now, I could be talking to somebody who just landed from Mars. I don't relate to that. In fact, my wife and I, we were talking about our wedding a while back. We didn't have one normie at our wedding. We had probably about 100 people, not one normie. In fact, even the chaplain was 30 years and over years anonymous. I don't relate to normies. Never have, never will. And it's okay. And they don't relate to me. The difference today is I don't scare them. I don't tell inappropriate jokes or stories. I'm learning how to navigate through life, with ease and grace. And with that, I'll pass it back to you, Susan.
Thank you so much, Larry G. in California. Next, we have K.S. in Iowa. Good morning, K.
Good morning.
So,
good morning. You. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your service, everyone that shared, and for you chairing the meeting. I am a grateful member of OA and a compulsive overeater. And I was, just for those that weren't, for many years, I did not have a problem with eating, decades, and then life sort of caved in on me in a way, unexpected way. And I just threw myself into isolation and food. And when I started having health repercussions and getting fairly big and getting bad health reports, I thought I could just clean it up by myself because I'd never had trouble before. I had smoked and quit smoking. Excuse me. I thought this would be the same thing. And it just wasn't. I just couldn't. I just was lost. And I also had a lot of emotional pain. And I found that one of the wonderful things about the people of OA is, you know, I go to work. I mean, I was very successful in my work. But when you go there and they ask, how are you doing? Trust me, they don't want to really know. You're supposed to say fine and move on in 99% of the time. But in OA, when people say, how are you doing? They really want to know the answer. And so that's what I came for, is because I'm not a diet person. I knew diets didn't work. I'd been a longtime member in another program. I felt like maybe there was more to this than just the food alone, a spiritual issue. And so I went directly to that and started working on the steps and doing all the things, the meetings, the sponsor, all that. And finally, I did. I had great success. And then I thought, oh, I can just go to my other program. I think I've got this under control. And slowly but surely, all that weight came back on. And I thought, okay. Finally, I decided, no, this is something you are, you belong here. This is really what you need. And this is the topic which you need to hear about, as well as maybe the other program. But, you know, I was not maybe hardcore, but I was definitely in the right place. And I'm just grateful that nobody judged me and said, well, this is the exact definition of what it is. And it is. It's the hardest thing I ever have ever done. And the second time coming back, by the way, was really hard because it's progressive. And I really got that. So I'm just grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for all your voices. I don't care if you're hardcore from the day you were born or just got that way recently. I get something out of what every person shares, and I'm so appreciative of it. So thank you very much. That's all I got. Pass.
Thank you so much, KS in Iowa. Okay, we have time for one more share this morning. So who would like that share? First name I hear, I guess.
Natalie S.
Natalie, good morning. Go ahead and tell us where you are calling from this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. This is Natalie S. in Arizona, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I am recovered today. So here's where my head was as I was listening to all the great shares. I really relate to this imaginative. I like to picture things in my mind. And when we heard the one share of living in Oz and the idea of being a munchkin and part of the munchkin clan, it reminded me that when I first came into these rooms, I resisted being identified as a compulsive overeater because my disease manifests itself in restriction and overexercise. But the thinking is so much the same. And I was reminded of my brother-in-law, who he has a Scottish heritage as well as I do. So my sister and then his family, the Gunn and Elliott clans, were Scottish. And that's kind of how I think of OA now. You know, whatever type of eater you are, we might be from, you know, northern Scotland or southern Scotland, but we have these traditions and these tools and these way of this way of life that, as if I think of it like that, because my family doesn't understand it, my dad could take a big square of brownie and cut it into 9 pieces. Could I ever do that? No way. But we have a way of life that I can wear proudly and say, yeah, you know, here's our flag. Here's what we do. Here's how we bring other people into our culture of recovery and living. And so I just offer that as a way to think of it rather than a punishment and a shame, which was the way that I regrettably thought of it for so long. And when my mind goes back to thinking, oh, woe is me, why do I have to do this? Why is it hard? Oh,
that's
gosh,
all the time we have, unfortunately, Natalie. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you so much. Eager to stay on time so that we can get to newcomer, greeter, and announcement shortly. Thank you, everyone, this morning for their service. Cara L., who read and shared on the text. Penny L. C., who's about to read. Yvonne A. was our backup. Kathy P. read the 12 steps, Joanne L. for the 12 traditions, and please stay on. Cheryl S. for newcomer greeter, she'll help you out if you need a sponsor, and then Shelley E. will share announcements. We will now close the read with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L. C. please read a vision for you for us? Thank you, Penny.
Yes, thank you, Susan. This is Penny L. C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass support you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.